is the Electric Theater.
And this is Helen Hayes.
Every Sunday evening, America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies present the Electric Theater, starring Miss Helen Hayes in the plays you want to hear. Here is Miss Hayes, home from England, to tell you about tonight's play.
Good evening. It seems wonderful to be home again, and I'm thrilled to be starting in on my duties as the Electric Theater's leading lady by playing Victoria in Lawrence Houseman's great play, Victoria Regina. And I think it's very appropriate tonight, since Victoria's great-great-great-grandson was born today. I'm happy to welcome Mr. Tony O'Selwart, who will play Prince Albert.
You can't see it. It weighs nothing. It's made, delivered, and used all in the same instant. What is it? Why, it's your electric service, of course. It's the biggest bargain in your family budget, too. Your electric service is low in price, high in value. That's because your business-managed electric light and power companies manage so efficiently, because their thousands of employees work so skillfully, and because you and your neighbors use electric service so widely. Yes, even though costs of supplying it to you are rising steadily, electric service is still the biggest bargain in your family budget. Your electric service does so much, yet costs so little. And now our play, Victoria Regina, starring Helen Hayes as Queen Victoria, with Tony O'Selwart as Prince Albert. The year is 1837. The day is June 20th. The hour is 6 o'clock in the morning. And the Victorian age is about to begin. It is Lord Cunningham who is knocking on the door at the home of the Duchess of Kent.
Well, what is it? Oh, my Lord Cunningham. I didn't see who it was, my Lord.
I have come to see the Princess Victoria.
Yes, my Lord. But Her Royal Highness isn't up yet, my Lord.
Up? Of course she's not up at this hour. Send Her Royal Highness maid to call her.
Yes, my Lord.
Hurry, man, hurry.
Yes, my Lord. But I'll have to call the maid first.
Well, call her.
Yes, my Lord. But the maid sleeps where I'm not supposed to go.
Isn't there a bell?
Yes, my Lord. In Her Royal Highness the Duchess' room, there is a bell.
Well, go and ask that it may be rung.
I daren't go to Her Royal Highness the Duchess' room, my Lord. Not now. Her Royal Highness the Princess is there, too.
Well, go and do the best you can, but say Her Royal Highness must come at once.
Yes, my Lord.
Good Lord, sleeps with the old cat, does she? Well, so this is how history gets written.
Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Kent.
My Lord Cunningham. You have news for us.
For Her Royal Highness the Princess, I have news, madam.
The king, then?
Is dead.
Then, my daughter is now...
queen.
It has come, then, at last. And I am the queen mother.
No, madam, Your Royal Highness is not the queen mother.
Not?
Your Royal Highness is the queen's mother. That is the distinction. Only had Your Royal Highness been queen in the first place, would that other title now follow?
Then if it's not mine by your laws, she shall give it to me.
That, madam, I fear will be impossible.
I will go myself and speak to Advance. That shall settle it. She will give me whatever I wish.
Her Royal Highness, the Princess Victoria.
The queen, you mean? Oh, Vicky, Vicky.
Mama, what is the matter?
Your Majesty, it is my painful duty to announce to Your Majesty the king has died.
Then I am...
You are queen, Your Majesty.
My child, you are queen at last.
But really queen now, before I've been crowned?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Yes, now, at once. The king is dead. You are the queen.
Then my reign is already begun. I can do as I like?
Yes, as you like. Do not mind what anyone says. If you want to do it, do it.
Oh, then, Mama, there is something that I would like.
Yes, see it. It shall be done.
I wish in future to have a bed and a room of my own.
Your Majesty, now that you are queen, you will, of course, marry.
Oh, I know that, Lord Melbourne. I have thought of it a great deal.
Has your Majesty still an open mind on the subject?
Well, I shall make my own choice, Lord Melbourne. And there are certain things to which I'm quite resolved.
As, for instance?
My marriage, Lord Melbourne, must be a marriage of affection. I mean, I must marry someone whom I can love and look up to.
Look up to?
Yes, Lord Melbourne, it may sound strange to you, but I must have as my husband one whom I can eventually look up to. When I have trained him for the position he will have to occupy.
May I make a suggestion, ma'am?
I do not say that I will take it.
Of course, it's just a suggestion, ma'am, but your Majesty's life's partner will probably be a prince from some foreign land, and I suggest that he should know or be capable of learning the English language. Capable also of adapting himself to English customs and habits and prejudices. The last is the most difficult of all, since the English have a prejudice against foreigners.
Lord Melbourne, to take an example, do you think that either of my cousins, Prince Ernst and Prince Albert of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, could acquire prejudice enough to be acceptably English?
Why does your Majesty name these two particularly?
Just as examples.
Oh, I understand, Your Majesty.
Possibly it might be because Prince Albert's portrait happens to be here on my desk.
Yes, I'm quite sure I understand, Your Majesty. They are just...
Examples.
Of course, Your Majesty, examples.
It may possibly be that they came to mind because I have invited them to England.
Of course, Your Majesty. That fact, in addition to the presence of Prince Albert's portrait, made Your Majesty think of them as examples.
Yes, I am sure that must have been it.
May I ask Your Majesty a question?
Of course.
Did Your Majesty happen to invite Your Majesty's cousins to England before or after Your Majesty saw Prince Albert's portrait?
We are not amused.
I'm sorry, Your Majesty.
Well, Albert?
Jawohl, mein Bruder?
We must speak English.
Why, Ernst?
For practice, Albert. One of us, you or I, will have to always.
I suppose.
Well, which of us do you suppose it is going to be?
The decision will not be ours.
It is time that I speak, Albert. It must be me. Did not Papa tell you?
No. What?
Papa wishes it shall be me.
Then why did he make me come?
Oh, Victoria has to choose. She has to choose, but she has to choose me.
Papa did not tell me so?
You must obey him anyhow.
Had he wished for my obedience, he should have told me, not you. If she asks me, I shall accept.
She must not ask you, and you must not accept.
What are you two looking so serious about?
The rain, cousin.
Oh, I hope the rain does not prevent you from enjoying your stay, cousin.
Oh, of course not. I find it most delightful.
And you too, Albert.
You're very kind, dear cousin. How could I help enjoying myself while I'm with you?
Albert, that is the first pretty speech you have ever made me.
I'm sorry, cousin.
Oh, but I like it.
That it should be only the first, I mean.
Well, so long as it isn't the last, I don't mind.
The rain is clearing. It has stopped. Shall we go out now?
Cousin Ernst, I have made all necessary arrangements. We shall go out when we do go out and not before. Besides, have you practiced your music yet? At home, I was told you practice every day.
But here one cannot find the time.
Go and do it now and there will be time.
I tried one of the pianos the day we arrived, cousin. It was not in very good tune.
But that doesn't matter. You will be all alone. No one will hear you.
Generally, when we practice, Albert and I practice together.
Oh, but if the piano is out of tune, duets would be dreadful. No, you go and practice by yourself, Ernst.
Is this a command, cousin?
Oh, my dear Ernst, I wouldn't think of commanding you. But I do want you to be quite at home here. And as you always practice at home, I want you to practice here. And now.
Very well, cousin. Albert, remember. Remember.
You haven't been quarreling, I hope, Albert.
We never quarrel.
I think it would be very hard to quarrel with you, Albert. I couldn't.
Please, don't ever try.
Won't you sit down, Albert?
Thank you.
Why don't you sit nearer? Talking is then so much easier.
You are very kind, cousin. To both of us, I mean.
Oh, I am very fond of Ernst.
Oh, yes, so am I.
Would it be a great trial to you if you had to live away from him?
One gets very fond of a brother.
Oh, yes, yes. But one can get fonder of someone else, can one not? What are you thinking, Albert?
I was listening to Ernst practicing.
Don't listen to Ernst. You must listen to me. I have something to say to you, Albert.
Yes? What is it, cousin?
In my position, it is I who have to say it, unfortunately. Ordinarily, it is not what a woman would wish to say herself. She would rather he said it.
Is there anything you wish me to say?
To hear you say you can love me is all I can hope. Yet, if you can say that you already do love me, that would be almost like heaven.
I do love you, cousin.
Enough to marry me?
More than enough to marry you. For people in our position often marry without any love at all.
I couldn't do that, Albert.
Nor could I, Victoria. Victoria?
Yes, Albert.
Father hoped it would be Ernst.
How silly of him.
Why?
But how could it possibly be Ernst after I'd seen you?
My very dear cousin. My sweet wife that is to be.
Aren't you going to kiss me? Again, please. Again.
I have finished my practicing. Are you ready to come riding now, my cousin?
Oh, yes, we are quite ready now. Everything has been arranged. Tell him, Albert.
Ernst, you told me to remember. I forgot.
Albert, may I come in?
Yes, dearest, if you wish it.
Oh, yes. What are you doing?
Shaving.
Oh, how exciting. May I stay and watch you?
If it would interest you, Action.
Oh, but of course. To see you shaving is wonderful. Something I never thought of.
Oh? Did you think one did not have to shave at all?
I never thought about it until now. You see, Albert, I have never seen a man shave himself before.
No, I suppose not.
How often do you have to do that? Once a week?
Every day.
Every day? But that's absurd. It can't grow as fast as all that.
Oh, yes, it does.
How very troublesome. I only cut my nails once a week.
Nails could wait longer. Beards won't.
I wouldn't like you to have a beard, Albert.
Nor would I. That's why I'm taking it off now.
How strange it looks and how interesting. It's fascinating. Is it dangerous?
Not if you don't talk to me.
Oh.
Not just while I'm stroking myself.
Stroking yourself? Oh, Albert, you are funny.
Is that not the right word? Ought I to have said wiping myself or what?
Well, really, Albert, I'm not sure. It's a part of the English language which, from not having to know, I've not been taught.
Oh, Vicky. Then you too do not know the English language quite like a native. For that, I would kiss you. If it were not for the soup.
The soup?
This, I mean.
Oh, not soup, Albert, darling. Soap.
Soap, then.
But I don't mind the soap, Albert. Your soap, if you would like to.
Very well, then. Now I will.
Oh, Albert, I'm so happy.
Yes, dearest. That is because you and I are both today so young.
Look how the sun is shining.
Vicky, let us have breakfast. Please to go and get yourself ready. And I will ring now for my dresser to come.
Order me to go, Albert. Order me.
Go, woman. He says to you, go.
Oh, Albert.
Listening to Helen Hayes and Victoria Regina on the Electric Theater, brought to you by America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies. Tonight, you switched on the light in your living room, and hundreds of people helped you do it. They're your friends and neighbors, the employees of your business-managed, tax-paying Electric Light and Power Company. These are the men and women who put the serve in your electric service to make it constant and dependable. They're typical of the skilled, experienced employees in all of America's business-managed Electric Light and Power Companies. Under efficient business management, they work around the clock and around the calendar, helping to keep your electric service ever ready and reliable, helping to make it the biggest value your money can buy. Now back to Victoria Regina, starring Helen Hayes as Victoria, with Tony O'Selwart as Prince Albert.
Her Majesty wishes to know whether the prince returned to the palace last night.
He did not.
Her Majesty wishes to know whether the prince has yet returned.
He has not.
Has the prince not returned yet?
He has not.
Her Majesty is angry.
Good morning, Vicky.
Albert, where have you been?
To Windsor, Victoria.
Why did you not come back last night?
I did not come back last night, Victoria, because of the way in which you sent for me.
Albert, I told you before you went to the dinner that I wished you to be back by 10:30 at the latest.
Yes.
At 10:30 you'd not come in, so I sent for you. I wrote a note, and my orders were that it was to be put into your hand by the messenger to whom I gave it.
It was put into my hand. I sent back word that I had received it.
Yes, but you did not come.
I did not come because I was not then ready to come.
Albert, when you go anywhere without me, I do not expect you to be late.
Victoria, when I go anywhere without you, you must leave it for me to decide myself when I shall return.
But this time I had already told you my wishes and decided for you. That is why I sent for you a second time.
Yes, I have the second note. Albert, I order you to return at once. Victoria Regina.
And still you did not.
I did not.
So you disobeyed your queen.
Yes, my dear, I disobeyed my queen. Sent me to the Tower for it and cut off my head.
I do not regard this as a subject for amusement and jest, Albert.
No? Then it is lucky that I do. For if neither of us thought it was amusing, we might have quite a serious quarrel about it.
Albert, please do remember that though I am your wife, I am also your queen.
Listen to me, my dear. When you married me, you made a promise that was strange for a queen to make, but you made it. To love, honor, and obey. And because it was so strange, so unlikely, I've never once told you to obey me, except for fun when you wished it. That is true, isn't it, my dear?
Yes.
Well, my dear, as I have not expected you to obey me in anything, so there are some things in which you must not expect me to obey you.
But I am your queen, Albert.
And I am your husband, Victoria.
Yes. Oh, it's so difficult.
Not so difficult, darling. I would like to give you an order now, for fun, and because I hope you wished it.
What is it, Albert?
Victoria, give me my morning kiss.
Oh, Albert.
You wanted me, Vicky?
Oh, Albert, why did you wait to change? I have been needing you so.
My uniform was wet through, my dear, and I was very cold.
You are cold still, dearest. Your hand is like ice. Oh, why did you go in such weather when I begged you not to?
I had to, my dear. I had to review the parade. Now, what is the matter?
It is about that trouble with America for having taken the Confederate envoys off our ship. This is the dispatch that Lord Russell is sending to our ambassador in Washington about it.
Let me see it. Liberation of the four gentlemen. Apology for the insult. Ultimatum. This means war.
Yes, I was afraid so. How foolish of the Americans not to give in. They must know they're in the wrong. And everything that Lord Russell says is true, is it not?
Yes, it's true, quite. But it won't do.
But Albert, as we are in the right, what else can we do?
Change a few words. Say it, but say it differently. Often it is just the way a thing is said that decides whether it shall be peace or war.
Oh.
It is the same when two people quarrel. You and I, Wifchen, might often have quarreled, had we said the same thing that we did say differently. Victoria, we must not have war with America.
But we could beat America now, Albert.
Yes, this time we should win, but another time would come and we should not win. That is what these patriots never think about. They uphold the honor of their country. And when they say honor, they mean pride. Honor means that you are too proud to do wrong. But pride means that you will not own that you have done wrong at all. That's the difference.
Then that applies to America now.
Yes, here is America. She has done wrong and she knows it. We should not demand that she apologize for an insult. We should invite her to reconsider a mistake. Something done by her agents without her instructions. She will think and behave reasonably. But say, I order you, and she will not.
But, Albert, are we to make it as easy for them as all that?
Yes. We are to order this now. Take a pen at once and write. Say that this dispatch is not to go until Lord Russell has heard from you.
Yes, Albert, yes.
I beg your pardon, Victoria. I have been ordering you about. I had quite forgotten for the moment that you are my queen.
Albert, surely by now you know that you are my king in everything but title. Dearest, when you are saving our country from war, your queen is just your wife.
Darling, thank you.
What should I do, my husband?
Write the note, Vicky. Tell the messenger to take it to Lord Russell. Then leave me alone, darling, while I compose a new set of instructions for our ambassador.
Yes, Albert. Albert.
I have finished it. Victoria, I have...
Albert, what is the matter? Are you ill?
I have done. If you approve, send it.
Yes. Oh, yes, I do. I do approve. Every word.
Then send it at once.
Albert, you are ill.
There will be no war, Victoria. There will be...
Albert, what is the matter?
Take me to bed. Take me to bed, Weibchen. Ich bin so schwach. Ich habe kaum die Feder halten können.
Oh! Albert! Albert! Now I am learning, so late, what it means to be a queen. I must rule when I should like to sit fingering Albert's dear possessions. I must confer with the Prime Minister, dispatch notes to my ambassadors, receive foreign potentates. To be a queen means that one must forget to be a woman. A queen cannot sit weeping and living over the days that are gone. Oh, Albert, Albert, farewell.
She's coming!
The Queen! God bless her!
Yes!
Well, so that's over. How beautifully everything went.
Yes, excellently. What crowds! What cheering.
Her Majesty enjoyed it, I think.
Yes, and how remarkable her enjoyment was, considering her age.
She must be very tired.
She must be. She's probably asleep by now.
Her Majesty, the Queen.
Your Majesty, you must be tired.
Oh, yes. But, oh, so happy. And so glad that I had the strength for it.
Your Majesty had better save her strength. Won't you go and rest now, Your Majesty?
No, not yet. That cheering means that my dear people are expecting to see me again. I must try not to disappoint them.
Do you think you have the strength, Your Majesty?
Oh, yes.
But you shall have to wheel me, you know. I can't get up. I can't get up. It's very gratifying, very, to find, after all these years, that they do appreciate all that I have tried to do for them, for their good, and for this dear country of ours. We have been so near together today, they and I, all my dear people of England and Scotland and Wales and Ireland and the dear colonies in India from all over the world. I've had messages, you know. Such loyalty, such devotion, it's most extraordinary. As the procession was coming back, it was just at Hyde Park Corner. There was a great crowd there, you know, and a lot of rough men. Oh, of course, it should never have happened, but it didn't matter, really. Broke right through the lines of the police and the troops guarding the route, and they ran along beside the carriage, shouting and cheering me. And I heard one of them say, "Go it, old girl, you've done it well." Of course, they were very unsuitable, the words, but very gratifying. And, oh, I hope it's true. I hope it's true. I must go to them now, have the windows opened. Ah, how they are cheering. Oh, Albert, Albert, if only you could have been here.
Helen Hayes will be back in just a moment to tell you about next week's Electric Theater play. Your hosts for the Electric Theater at this time each Sunday evening are America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies. Each of these is a separate company serving its own community, and each is working for the advancement of the area it serves. They join to bring you the world's finest plays and these friendly talks to show you how, through sound business management, these companies keep your electric service constant and dependable, the biggest bargain in your family budget. Now, back to the Electric Theater. And here is Helen Hayes to tell you about next week's Electric Theater play.
Thank you. Next week, the Electric Theater will present a dramatization of one of the finest, funniest, and truest short stories of Stephen Vincent Benet, The Sobbin' Women.
Electric Theater is produced by Joseph R. Stauffer and directed by Lester O'Keefe. Our play was adapted by Robert Sennadella with special music composed and conducted by Vladimir Solinsky. We hope you'll be listening next week when America's business-managed, tax-paying electric light and power companies will present our own great star, Miss Helen Hayes, in The Sobbin' Women on the Electric Theater. And don't forget, Miss Hayes will appear regularly every week on the Electric Theater. Joe Ripley speaking. CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.